Okay, now I will chant. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able to upright, straightforward, and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, not busy with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protect with her life her child, her only child, so with the boundless heart, so one should cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. Okay, I don't know whether you enjoy it or not. So sometimes you may not get that happiness because Ajahn Brahm is chanting very nicely. So I don't have that ability to do it. Anyway, okay, I thought all of you enjoy my chanting. Okay. Okay. So then today, then I will remind you the important things before start meditation. So it is good to remind ourselves to condition our mind to do a good meditation session. So we should have focus in the right way and let go all distractions. So for doing that, you have to make up our mind by reminding ourselves the reality of this body and mind. So it is important to remind ourselves this body and mind is a natural phenomena. So we are not actually on our body and mind. It is, you have to we have to just remind ourselves it is a natural phenomena. So sometimes the thoughts come to our mind. We have to be kind, soft and gentle when they are coming in. So we have to be kind and let them go. And sometimes the bodily pains, when you are sitting in any posture, sometimes you may get bodily pains. Sometimes the other external things, sometimes the mosquitoes come and bite. I think fortunately still the environment is too cold for mosquitoes. Now still no mosquitoes here. So this kind of distractions sometimes come when we are doing meditation. So we must remind ourselves this body and mind is a natural phenomena. Things enter through five senses and mind sense also. Different inputs are coming in. So we have to just kind to themselves and just let them fade away and disappear. So we are not going to fight with those things, but we focus our attention all the time to the meditation object. We keep our focus on meditation object, but we are not trying to stop the distractions coming in. So that is the one of the most important thing. Most of the time, the mind may, the thoughts come regarding the something related to your past, sometimes something related to your future. So these things are distractions. So we have to keep in mind the past has already gone dead. So we can't do anything for the past. Future is uncertain. We don't know what will happen in future. So future, each and every moment in this life, depending on causes and conditions at each and every moment. So whatever thing we experience in any moment totally depend on external conditions and internal conditions at that moment. So this is how we learned this Lord Buddha's teachings. And in the same time, if you investigate or if you carefully watch how your body and mind work, you see it is true, it is real. So if you keep in mind this understanding, it is helpful to let go things, be kind to ourselves and be kind to the external world. So it is important, this kindness in present moment when we are practicing meditation, that we can easily let go things and let the things fade away and disappear. Not to involve, not to try to fight with what we are experiencing now. So we maintain kindness, softness, gentleness in our mind. So it is one of the most helpful things. So we focus to the present moment, let go past and future. And we focus first our attention to our body and check the body, whether it is comfortable or not. So because then we stop giving attention to the external objects, we turn our mind into our body and make it comfortable. Because in all of the time, the other times of the day, our five senses are engaged with the external world. So when we are meditating, we cut off the attention to the external world. We turn our attention to our body and mind. So that is also important to keep in mind. So the thoughts, when the thoughts comes to our mind, we just don't pay attention to the thoughts. We prefer the silent mind. Sometimes mind will give us a small guidance if you are meditating alone. But today I am giving a little bit guided meditation. So it will helpful you to let your mind to work according to the guidance, and then it will help to bring your mind calm, quiet, and still. So still mind can easily watch the meditation object. Most of the time we are doing the breath meditation. So we watch our breath. It is going up and down. So we watch it. Then our mind become more calm and still, and it go to the deeper meditation. So deeper calmness and stillness come to our mind. So we when we are practicing meditation, we let go our body. So then we are focused to our mind only. And meditation object is what we experience or we see through our mind. So that means we see the breath is going up and down. See means we feel, we understand. So we are not going to watch any place of our body for understanding the breath, but we just watch watch the experience, how we understand breath is going up and going down. So these are the basics we have to keep in our mind. In the same time, sometimes we are not much enjoying the meditation object. In some instances, mind is not much inclined to enjoy the meditation object. Maybe because that kind of situations, we have to motivate your mind to do it. If you are a skillful meditator, if you have practiced for some time this meditation, naturally your mind incline when you sit for meditation, mind naturally go to the meditation. So it is easy. If you are new to meditation, so sometimes you have to motivate your mind to practice meditation. It is necessary. Otherwise, you feel it is boring and your mind start wandering here and there. So these things we should keep in mind. Because the important thing is we pay attention to our meditation object, but we are not doing anything. So only attention we keep on the meditation object or our body. So first we scan the body to bring our attention to the body, and then we just watch the meditation object. This is the way how we practice meditation. So I think now I can start meditation, guided meditation. Is it okay? Okay, no? So, now 7:23. So, we can start. Okay. First of all, you can sit in a comfortable posture. So, it is easy for practicing meditation. I think all of you are staying in your homes. So I think already you are sitting in the comfortable posture. So anyway, you can sit and get ready for practicing meditation. Good. So sit comfortably. If you are leaning against a backrest, it is okay. But some people fall into sleep or not really good for some people, but it is okay. You have to train yourself to sit comfortably, because we are going to sit without moving our body. That means the legs or hands for about half an hour at least. So now you can close your eyes and bring your attention to your body. So you can check where if there are any uncomfortability in your body, or any strains or stiffnesses in body. So then you can relax your muscles in your body. So carefully pay attention to your body. You can slowly scan your body from toe to head and see whether there is any muscle strains or slight pains. So if there is any, you can make it ease. You have to be kind to your body. Body is a natural phenomena. So whatever pain arises, you have to check why it is arising. So you can ask your body, are you comfortable? So then you can get the answer. Each and every part of the body, from toe to head, you can slowly scan and ask whether it is comfortable or not. Keep your mind silent. It is really helpful. Inner talks is a disturbance. So keep as much as it's silent. So then you can easily watch your inner inside, the whether there is any pain or not. So we are going to enjoy the silent stillness of the mind. So it is important to keep in mind, we are going to be happy. We are not going to do anything. We are going to give a rest to our body and mind. So we are going to enjoy the silent stillness of our body and mind. Keep your attention on the whole body so you can see the silence, stillness of the body, and enjoy the stillness of the body now. Enjoy the silent stillness of the body. Enjoy the silent stillness of the body. If there are any thoughts come, just let them go. Don't pay attention to the thoughts. Just keep your attention on your body, and silence of the mind is, you can enjoy the silence of the mind and body. Enjoy the silent stillness of the body and mind. Enjoy the tranquility of body and mind. You can bring your attention to the breath, which direction it is going, so you can understand which direction it is flowing. Keep your attention on the breath and watch the direction of the breath, whether it is going in or out. Enjoy the stillness of your body and mind while watching the breath. Enjoy the silent stillness of your body and mind while watching the whole breath. Enjoy the stillness of the breath. How do you feel now? How comfortable your body and mind? How much you are enjoying the tranquility of your body and mind, the stillness of your body and mind. So now we are coming closer to the end of this meditation session. I will ring the gong 3 times, so then you can come when I ring for the 3rd time. So if you have any questions, you can ask regarding meditation practice or anything else. So I will answer. So I think depending on the different people have different experiences on when they are practicing meditation. So it is important to keep in mind, actually I forgot to remind you. So when we close our eyes, if there is any visual objects are coming in to your mind, so you should not pay much attention to those objects. So the object of light is the one we normally focused our attention on, onto the light and the center of the vision area, not to the five sense world objects. That means the normally day-to-day life when you see the different kind of objects. So if those objects come to our vision, so we don't pay attention to those objects. So this is sometimes some people hear sounds from ears when we are practicing meditation. So then you should not pay attention to those things. So if that sound is a continuous sound, it is okay. But sometimes the speaking noises, someone is speaking to your ear, that kind of things you should not pay attention. Or the visual objects, if any the five sense world objects are coming in, we don't pay attention. We just keep our attention in the center of the visual area. This is one, because some people's mind distracted by the visual objects. If you pay attention on these things. So if you have any questions, you can ask, then I can answer.
I have a question.
Yes.
First, hi. I would like to ask, what does your name mean, Bandai? Arun Vihari? Can you please explain?
Yeah. This Arana means Rana is the conflicting, fighting. Arana is non-conflicting, non-fighting. There's a sutta middle-length discourses called Arana Vibhanga Sutta. So the Lord Buddha say, when you are living in this world, you should not make conflicts by when you are speaking to other people or doing actions. You have to be kind to the world and understand the world and do act without making conflicts. So the arana, the meaning of arana is that one. Arana vihari is dwelling in that kind of with that kind of behaviors.
Well, that's nice to think about in terms of how you were explaining the meditation, because there's seemingly conflicts that come up, the sensations in the, excuse me, the coffee pot was beeping to let me know that it brewed 2 hours ago. But these sensations that come up, and I'm changing where the dwelling is instead of going off with them. But I think, of course, staying, not just staying with the breath, but I think learning about the breath and what does that sensation feel like and how it changes. I think I get, it changes the breath, and not, there's like that expectation, I think, that it's going to feel the same as the breath before it, and it changes. You know, the nostrils are different, mm-hmm. and all the sensations. Could you just speak about that and following the breath and it's constant changing?
Yeah.
If that makes sense of the question.
Yeah, this normally when we are practicing meditation, we are not much paying attention to the sensations, but we just watch whether breath is going up or whether it is coming down, because if we pay attention to the places in our body. Sometimes it is not easy to practice meditation, this breath meditation. So only we watch how what we perceive as breath. So only that perception we keep attention, whether it is going up or whether it is going down. So then it is easy, it is comfortable. If you try to watch the breath touching sensations, so sometimes these places become stiff. If you watch the nostrils, these things become stiff, the whole area. So that's why we are just try to understand whether which direction breath is going, whether it is going up or whether it is going down. Later we can clearly understand the breath is going up and breath is going down. We can pay attention to the full breath. So then the mind is more still and more focused. At the beginning, actually, we only watch the breath is going up, breath is going down. If there is, so most of the time at the beginning we try to watch where the breath is touching, but we should not continue it. That's my personal understanding, because we are practicing meditation for a long time. At the early stages, actually, we practice like that, but it makes the face sometimes stiff. And our attention go to the whole face, and the mind is not let go the body. It is always stay with the body sensations. Then this meditation doesn't go deep, and it is not very delightful. When we watch the breath perception, that means what you perceive as breath, so then it is very comfortable, light, and then the body start disappearing. So that is what about this meditation we practice and understand. Because according to the Lord Buddha's teachings, Lord Buddha never say you should watch this place or that place. Say the just to understand the how breath is going up, whether it is going up, whether it is going down. So just watching, understanding, not pay attention to the sensations. So that's how I practice breath meditation. Different teachers teaches in different ways, but according to my personal practice, I know this is the other methods. When we follow these touching sensations, so then you are always involved with your body. It makes the body stiff or the feel very strongly. You are not letting go, and you are not getting more comfortable and light. The sense that means you feel much more comfortable when you let go your body. I think I answered the question. No, am I answered the question?
Yes, and I think it's very helpful because I also it's a developing process.
Yes,
you know, and I think even for me, sensing the breath.
Yeah.
Is part of that, you know. It's part of getting to where you're speaking of. But the way you put it makes it very helpful to put it in context and say, okay, this is what I'm doing, and understanding why I'm doing it, and then where it needs to move towards.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be felt as a sensation.
Yeah.
To be experienced.
Yeah.
I think that's important. I'm going to say it again for myself.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be felt as a sensation. It doesn't have to be sensed to be experienced.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's an important thing. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because.
On the BSV. So,
okay.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed your talk and meditation before.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question for many people. Okay, ask.
Ajahn, that's been very beautiful this evening. Thank you. The meditation was very still. I find the stillness that you were talking about in touch with me. So thank you for that, Ajahn.
Thank you.
I'm wondering whether you'd be happy to talk about how you became a monk.
It is a long story because when I was going to school at grade 8, we were Buddhists, so we learned Buddhism in our schools from the small age. So I learned teacher taught us the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sutta. So he just gave an introduction and teach some the important parts of the sutta. So then that day, actually, idea came to my mind, this is the way how we have to practice this Dhamma. So it was sink into my mind. So gradually, it kept in all the time in with me. So that means time to time it came back. So that idea. So I thought, I must spend my life to practice this path. So when I was going to university, I found a place, there are monks are practicing meditation. So I went there and I associate with them. Then I wanted to ordain, but my parents didn't give me permission. So I have to wait until they pass away. So I wait 20 years until they pass away. So I ordained in my age 43. So, so until that age, I have to wait because my parents didn't give me permission. So. So that's why sometimes we have to face to our life as it is. So we have to be kind to the world, not to fight. So if we are going to fight, we suffer a lot. So I came to, I ordained in 2003 in that way.
I love the image of not fighting the world all the time. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Because we see when we are fighting, so we more suffer. So when we understand this practice, we practice much more letting go and be kind to the world, kind to ourselves and kind to the other people in this world. So then it will make harmony. Then the patient, until we get the opportunity to do whatever thing we want, we prefer to do. So that's why if we focus our attention to the path, actually Lord Buddha also always showed this path. If you pay attention to the path, the first two factors of the path is right view and right motivation or right attitude. So you develop first right motivation and attitude. According to this one, then your day-to-day activity, that means your verbal actions, bodily actions, and your livelihood shape up according to your view and your motivations. So when we have that is why it is important to make up our mind to see this world in right way, the correct view. So that means this body and mind is a natural phenomena, and things rise and pass away in each and every moment depending on causes and conditions at that moment, internally and externally, because external causes and conditions and internal causes and conditions, depending on these things, each and every moment our feelings, perceptions and volitions arise. So this is a natural phenomena. No one is controlling these things. So all control based on your internal conditions and external conditions. So how you were conditioned at that moment is the important thing. So that's why this kind of training, whatever understanding, helpful to each and every moment. If it is remind, if you are mindful about that, the understandings, knowledges at each and every moment, then you are mindfully know, and you can handle the situation, or you can handle means, in other words, you are react properly. Otherwise, you fall into wrong actions. That means your verbal actions and bodily actions become harsh and unsuitable, not fit to on the right way. So that's why we should develop the right attitude or right view, and then the right mental action. That means the right motivation. So these things, step by step, my English not very good, but I try to explain this Dhamma. Because if we understand in the right way, then you can quickly develop the right attitudes towards your world, wherever you live and whatever thing you are experiencing in the present moment. So it is helpful. Meditation is the helpful thing to cultivate the good actions, good reactions, because when you are practicing meditation, you train your mind to let go things and be calm and quiet. So then you have a chance to react properly, think and react properly, avoid all unskillful bodily actions and verbal actions. So if you have any questions, you can ask.
Well, John.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you another question. But I looked on the internet and saw the monastery, a picture of the monastery in Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
Where you started, where you were ordained there, I believe.
Yeah.
Very beautiful. Would you like to tell us something about your time in the monastery there?
Yes. Yeah, actually, Nauyana is the monastery where I ordained. So, it is a forest monastery. That monastery has a one part, actually, the ancient, that means a very old forest with very tall trees. And the caves. These caves, actually, the archaeologists say, these caves belongs to 1st century BC. So, very old caves. So, actually 2nd century BC. These caves belongs to 2nd century BC. At the early stages of Buddhism, which came from Sri Lanka. So the king's brother make these caves, actually. That means the caves means they make a small line to not to go water along the cave inside. So then the water drip down on that line, the water directly. So this kind of these caves are very old, and you can see the ancient inscriptions. Those inscriptions, actually, they clearly know this caves belongs to 2nd century BC. So a few caves are there, and this forest, actually, this monastery land extent is about over 1,000 acres. So I think over 200 monks are living in that monastery. So it is the big forest area. So, but in old forest, only about 30-40 hectares, I think, not more than that. Later, the other parts people cleared and later reforested area. Other parts of the monastery. So anyway, it is a very secluded place. Once you go to the middle part of the monastery, you very silent and calm place. So many monks are practicing there. So we have a middle part used as a meditation retreat area. All the time, about 30-40 monks are practicing in the middle part. So the other parts also, some areas, monks go to the villages closer to that area and come back, and they practice meditation. They have the big good seclusion in those huts. So it is a big monastery. And there's a nuns monastery also in this belongs to this monastery. It is a little bit far from the first entrance, that means the monks' monastery entrance, but it belongs to the same area of the forest. But little about 1.5 kilometers or 2 kilometers far from the monastery main entrance. There's, I think, about nearly 100 nuns are staying there. Monk side, about 200 monks. And another the teaching center also belongs to the monastery. It is also a little bit far. Little bit means about 3-4 kilometers far from the monastery. That is also about 100-acre land and the teaching center there. So that kind of monastery, the Nauyana monastery, actually now it is a big monastery. When I was ordaining, only about 50 monks lived there, and no nuns monasteries. Nuns monastery started after I ordained. So I later I actually these places are built for practicing meditation mostly. No monks are, monks don't have much work to do there, so they are the, most of the time they are practicing meditation. So they are not much involving in teaching work also. Only few monks do the teaching works. That depends on their choice. Some monks prefer to do more teaching work and in the same time they are doing practicing meditation. Some monks are helping to all monks doing the monastery other management work and all these things. Some monks are fully devoted to, most monks actually fully devoted to their meditation practice. So some monks are teaching to other monks how to practice meditation and all these things. So mainly they follow the Park method of meditation. So they send monks to Park Monastery. But there is no strict control. So they have enough freedom to practice whatever method they prefer to practice. So it is good to... I know these some of these Australians go there and stay. And they stay a long time. And when I was ordaining there, one of the monks who ordained in Bodhinyana lived in our monastery, Venerable Visarada. Sometimes you may know him. Okay.
Thank you, Ajahn. Ajahn, I was wondering, we're sort of coming towards the end of the session now. If anybody has any questions, that would be...
Yes, I saw someone is rising her hand.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. Yes.
Here in the monastery, everybody brings the food to the monastery for you.
Yeah.
When you were in Sri Lanka, how did you get your food there? Did people bring it to you, or do you go out on the streets as they used to do with the bowl? How did that work?
Yeah, actually, when we are staying in Nauyana Monastery, Nauyana Monastery, monks follow different methods. Actually, mainly, they have we say Pindapatha hall. I think you may understand. Monks go, they carry their bowls and go around to collect alms in the hall here in Bodhinyana. Similar place in our monastery also. So, but the difference is actually not different people bring different food there. So they actually cook food. Sometimes a group of people come to monastery and cook food in the monastery and give to all monks. Because there is a large number of monks go to the one that kind of the Pindapatha hall. So nearly about over 100 monks go to one hall. So they go line like here and collect alms. But the difference is, they all the time, there are two lines actually, the food lines. One, the lay people serve food. That means all the curries and rice, everything they serve to alms bowls. So monks get, they fill their bowl according to what amount they want. So the lay people fill the bowl. The other line, you can self-service, like here. You can fill your bowl by yourself. So these both methods use in our monasteries. And our monastery has a one line, actually, Sri Lankan food. The other line, actually, especially for foreigners who are living in our monastery. In our monastery, actually, about 30, 40 foreigners, or more than sometimes, foreigners are living in the monastery. So they are not used to Sri Lankan food, chili, and all this stuff. So they go through the other line, and they self-service, they are served to their bowls. So that kind of method. So some monks actually go to the village and collect the alms to their bowls. So the villagers serve them when they go to house by house. So both methods use in our monasteries.
Thank you.
We have also one message in the question in the chat.
Okay.
Can anyone go there and practice Ajahn?
Hmm?
Sri Lanka and practice.
Yes. Can. You have to go to their website, nauena.org website. Once you go to the website, you can get all the information, how you have to apply. So first you have to write to nauena@gmail.com, that their email, so then they will answer. So actually, many foreigners go there for practicing meditation and stay, and even the men and women both, and monks and nuns go there and practice meditation. So you can see their terms and conditions and all these things you can see when you go to the website and read. They give a PDF, I think, in that website. Regarding this, how you have to apply, and they give an application form you have to fill and send them by email.
Well, Ajahn, it's now come to the time, the magic time of saying good night.
Good night. Okay, good.
And Ajahn, it's been a wonderful evening.
Sad. Okay, thank you very much for inviting me and give a chance to talk to this Armadale community. Actually, this is the third time I think I address this Armadale community. Okay, I'm also very happy to talk, have a chance to talk
to you.
Sam, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Good night, all.
Good night. Have a good night. Sad.
Okay.